Hello, my name is Brian Novoshelsky, and welcome to the Over the Counter podcast. Today, we are joined by Brett Barker, practicing pharmacist and state representative in Iowa's 51st District. He's here to discuss one of Iowa's recent legislative bills, Senate File 383, imposing restrictions on pharmacy benefit managers in an effort to address challenges that harm patients and independent pharmacies.
Can you start by explaining what Senate File 383 is and how it is intended to impact Iowa pharmacies?
Yeah, so Senate File 383 is really Iowa's attempt to reform the pharmacy benefit manager space. We're seeing the same things every state across the country is seeing. In the last decade, 200 pharmacies closed in Iowa, 30-some closed last year. We know it's an epidemic of pharmacy closures, and a large driver of that are pharmacy benefit manager practices. So as everybody knows in the pharmacy space, it's not transparent. There's manipulation of pricing. There's an inordinate power exerted by the PBMs on employers, on payers, on pharmacies, on patients. And so we really wanted to take a look at that and provide some comprehensive reform. We looked at what other states had done successfully that had worked. We looked at court cases across the country and we tried to craft a bill that would move the needle for pharmacy and also stand up to legal challenges.
Awesome. So what was your initial reaction when the bill was signed?
A lot of relief. It was obviously a heavy lift. These bills are never easy. Iowa has a very large insurance lobby. It's hard to overcome. They exert a lot of power, and we really face a lot of headwinds on that. It's a David and Goliath fight every time you take on the PBMs. But, you know, we have the story on our side. We have the facts on our side. We have the data on our side. We have the grassroots on our side. And at the end of the day, that's what carried us across the finish line. You know, the opponents will go out there and they'll do math and try to scare people with really big numbers. But when we look at what's happened in other states as a result of PBM reform, there's no example they can actually point to that shows that their fear-mongering comes true. On the flip side, we're able to show not only can you make pharmacies whole when you reform and add transparency, but you can also save payers money. And so everybody wins when you do good PBM reform.
Awesome. Yeah. And with your pharmacy background and getting involved, and it's good to see that it's a great example of a pharmacist really going above and beyond and advocating for the profession, which is awesome to see. Talking about the bill, the specifics of the bill, of all the provisions listed under the new bill, which ones do you believe will benefit community pharmacies in Iowa the most?
Yeah, so our bill does a lot of things. One, it adds transparency to the system. It has a predictable payment model. It makes sure that patients ultimately get to choose their care provider. We make sure the dollars flow through the system to impact the patient as much as possible, whether it's buying down premium or copay at that level. And then it also makes pharmacies whole and make sure we get paid what it costs us to put the drugs on our shelf. So those are kind of the four legs of the stool here of this piece of legislation. You know, for me, I'm really excited about patient choice. I mean, how many times as pharmacists do we have to have longtime patients go somewhere else for care where we know they're not going to get the same level of care that we provide? You know, it allows us to compete on service rather than based on PBM contracts. Also, making sure that we're made whole. I mean, right now, pharmacy's been death by 1,000 cuts. We have to stop that bleeding. We have to get paid what it costs us to order drugs. And so those are two really important pieces of the legislation.
Awesome. So kind of looking to both sides of the aisle on this specific legislation here, while the bill was designed to limit the control of PBMs in Iowa pharmacies, some opposing stakeholders are saying that the bill can drive up medication costs and negatively impact the health of Iowa citizens. How would you respond to those sentiments?
Yeah, I mean, it's just frankly not true. And what I've continued to ask is show me a place where this has happened, and they can't. So on the flip side, we have data from all across the country, state after state after state have done these reforms and shown that they're able to maintain pharmacy access and preserve pharmacy access. And at the same time, they're saving costs in the system. So, you know, anyone in the pharmacy space understands that is the result of this. You know, so that also helped us carry the day because we were able to show whether it's Ohio, West Virginia, Tennessee, Washington State, over and over again, we have plenty of analyses that have data that show that we have the facts on our side. And so I would just continue to point to that, you know, bring up the good examples, and the other side isn't able to do that. They have projections. They don't have real world concrete data that shows that those projections ever come true.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. It's obviously been a, that data and that research on kind of what actually is happening has been building up for quite some time. So kind of looking ahead here with our last question, I think this has been a great discussion. So with Iowa being added to the list of states enacting PBM reform, obviously it's been very ongoing recently. How do you think the signing of SF 383 will impact PBM reform on the federal level or within other state legislatures going forward?
We're certainly seeing a snowball effect here. I think that's why the opposition is so loud, because they see that they're losing momentum. They see that the PBM reform is gaining traction. We see the president, we see the president's son, we see the Health and Human Services cabinet member, we see members of Congress, we see governors just across the country really taking a stand here. And so policymakers, legislators, leaders have all become, and employers have all become wise to the games that PBMs are playing. And so because they know that, they're fighting even harder. So PBMs are going to bully, they're going to bluster. And when that doesn't work, they're going to sue. And so they did end up litigating here in Iowa. So we're going to go through that process. But we were expecting that. It's their playbook across the country. But it is because of that. They know that as more states fall, it's easier to pass. I mean, one thing that helped us is we could point to where other states have passed these provisions successfully and where they're working. And so if Iowa is able to be another success story, they know that it'll be harder for them to defend in other state capitals. We also know DC's getting very close to getting something done. I'll believe it when I see it, but they've been right there actually getting some things in some of the reconciliation packages. You know, my member of Congress and our federal delegation from Iowa in general is very supportive of this. I've spoken to Speaker Johnson about it. I know it's something that they've been trying to accomplish down in DC. So hopefully we'll get good reform there. You know, ultimately, states can take care of their Medicaid space, which Iowa did more than a decade ago. We can take care of our commercial space, which SF 383 attempts to do. But we also need the federal government to take care of the Part D space and also the larger antitrust issues around vertical integration.
Awesome. Yeah. So obviously definitely some good things to look forward to. I feel like as far as PBM reform goes, like around this time last year, there was talks of it gaining traction, but even since then, it's just, like you said, snowballed out and it's really happening in real time right now. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye on it. I appreciate you taking the time today.
Yeah. Happy to chat about PBMs whenever I'm given the opportunity.